More now on that news overnight that Israel has bombed Iran. They say they've hit nuclear sites to stop Iran from making a nuclear bomb. The head of the global nuclear watchdog has confirmed that Iran's main nuclear enrichment site was struck. Iran says that Israel has killed the chief of Iran's Revolutionary Guards and six nuclear scientists, that residential areas were hit and civilians, including children, were killed. Here, the Taoiseach Simon Harris says he's deeply concerned and that his officials are in touch with our embassy in Iran regarding the safety of the small Irish community there. Retired colonel with the Israeli Defence Forces, Miri Esan, told the BBC World Service that the strikes came at a time of weakness for Iran.
This isn't a happy time, but it's a window of opportunity to be able to attack this when Hezbollah has been pretty much demolished, when Iran is relatively weak, and with our own capabilities. When you're doing something like this with this exact information, to do so in the surprise mode, to be sure that it's effective, we're never going to target, not the families, not the children, and the fact that they are there is always going to be a tragedy.
Let's talk with Middle East expert Fawaz Gerges. He's Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning. Thanks for speaking with us again.
My pleasure.
Why is Israel doing this now, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think this is a very golden opportunity for Israel. There is an administration in the United States that fully supports Israel. Iran has been weakened by almost 2 years of attacks by Israel against it directly and against its own regional allies. Hezbollah has weakened tremendously in the past 1 year. So Benjamin Netanyahu is part of his, you know, forever war. He wants to remake the Middle East in Israel's vision. And Iran is the big prize. And this is his moment because he has been trying to do so since 2012. So all in all, this is not just an Israeli attack on Iran. This is a declaration of all-out war against Iran. And we'll see what's going to happen in the next few days and next few weeks.
How can Iran respond?
Well, look, Gavin, Iran faces an existential struggle. This is an attack against the state. This is an attack against the beating heart of Iran's elite. They have killed top commanders, including the second most important man after the Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei. They killed six nuclear scientists. If Iran does not respond, decisively, this really would mean the end of the Islamic clerical regime in Iran. And the regime has been threatening to respond and respond decisively for the past few weeks. So we shall see whether this was bluster on the part of Iran or Iran has the capacity to retaliate and retaliate decisively. The next few days will be decisive for us to see whether Iran has the capacity. Of course, it has the will, but does it have the capacity and the capabilities to bleed Israel in the same way that Israel has bleeding Iran for the past few years?
Does it have that capacity?
Well, you know, I mean, based on what we know, it does. But the reality is we have not really seen capacity yet. We have not really, I mean, of course, the United States and Britain and France, they all basically intercepted Iranian missiles on Israel in the past 2 years. But the reality is what I'm trying to say, this is a decisive existential moment for Iran. Israel has declared all-out war against Iran. The question for everyone to see, will Iran be able to respond? And not just to respond in basically firing 100 or 200 drones, that's basically ineffective. Whether it could really hit Israel's basically strategic assets, because as you know, in the past few days, the Iranian leadership have insinuated that they have intelligence and documents about Israel's nuclear facilities. Will Iran be able to do so? My take on it is that regardless of what happens, regardless whether Iran has the capacity to retaliate decisively against Israel, what Israel has done in the past 24 hours really represents a turning point. My take on it, and I could be wrong, that what Israel did will turn Iran into a nuclear armed state in the next few years. The Iranian, this is a moment that basically the historians will look at this particular moment, that even though Israel's achieved a tactical, basically major victory over Iran, Iran uses this moment to arm itself, to turn its enrichment, its nuclear program into, weaponize its nuclear program.
Under attack from Israel with the tacit backing of the United States, does Iran have the support of its neighbors here?
Well, I mean, its neighbors do not really want war. Even the Saudis have made it very clear. The Saudis, the Qataris, the Bahrainis, the Kuwaitis. The Saudis made it very clear they condemned the attacks against Iran. Not because they like the clerics in Tehran. All-out war between Iran and Israel and the United States could really destroy the waterways, the strategic waterways, could really have major impact on the economic survival of the states and the region.
Where does the U.S. fit into all of this, Fawaz?
Well, look, I mean, the fact is the United States either has given the yellow light to Israel or the green light, because the Americans had been informed of Israel's attacks on Iran beforehand. The Americans have provided Israel with the missiles and the bombs that could really penetrate Iran's nuclear facilities. The intelligence. President Trump just made it very clear that the United States could come to Israel's support if needs be. The reality is the Americans hope that Israel's attack would force Iran to basically accept the American ultimatum, basically ending nuclear enrichments in Iran. So without American support, implicit or explicit, Israel could not really do what it has done, not just vis-a-vis Iran, but vis-a-vis Gaza as well. This is really an American war, not just Netanyahu's and Israel's war, both in Gaza and the wider region.
Fawaz, thanks for speaking to us again. That's Middle East expert Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. 22 minutes past 8.